morning, Patriots. You know, I ask myself, and I would imagine I'm not the only one asking myself this, that in this time, how would Christ see this action of people taking an injection? And what exactly would he do? And I think we have the answer. I just don't think it's an answer that most people want to hear. We live in a time when, after years and years of inoculation of a welfare culture, which is what effectively we've become, people have come to accept and rely on someone fixing problems for them. The system that is dying is a system that was built around leading people to a very specific place, a destiny. And that destiny has always been away from God and to their own demise. It's a system that was designed to create an ever-needing dependence upon it and to create an interdependence on all its agencies. It's a system that was designed to promise everything. Promise you security, promise you income, promise you health care, promise you equality, promise you anything you name it, they're going to promise it to you. And no matter who you are, no matter how you lived, no matter what horrors you did, you were all going to be treated equal. Whether you raped a child or whether you walked as a person in faith. But keeping in mind, you can't have faith. You have to have the state's faith. But no matter how you are, you're all equal. Your stations in life are equal. And this constant lure is very much like the Pied Piper, promising greatness. And that particular story has a lot of application because parents lose their children because they don't take good care of their children. And in the end, it's the Pied Piper that takes them off to some other dimension, which is a very dark story in a way because it suggests exactly the type of world we're living in now, where your children are taken away from you, not so that they will be treated well, but they'll be treated for the uses of somebody else, but the parents lost them in the end because they failed to do their job as parents and guardians of God's gift. Today, we live in a world where many are failing to do their basic job, which is just to begin and worship with God. Now that, for some, and I bump into this, seems very judgmental and harsh. They like to think that it's not fair because they didn't have the right knowledge. It's not fair because they didn't have the experience or opportunity to work with somebody who was awake, and so they were caught in the narrative. There's a simple dispelling of that at this moment in time, which all centers on the injection. And it's a very important one because everybody right now has equal knowledge of one thing. Everybody has equal knowledge of one thing. And that one thing is, it is experimental. So I want you to think about that for just a moment and realize, really embrace those words. And now I want you to think of people like the Pope, Franklin Graham, and many others, to name two, that are saying that this has to happen, or Franklin Graham, that this is scriptural. Where would God ever suggest that something that was experimental by man be mandated in scripture? That's just logic. It doesn't even require me to dig into the scriptures. It doesn't require me to do anything with scripture, even know scripture. It's a simple fact. Where in the world would God ever ask his children to inject something that was experimental, created by the hand of man? The answer is never. So essentially what we're living through is a modern parable. And I think it's important to ask ourselves and go back, not just ask ourselves, but go back and read the purpose of parables as Christ laid them out. This is Matthew 13:10, beginning with Matthew 13:10. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what has been taken, even he has, will be taken away. Even what he has will be taken away. That is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand." It's a rather profound statement, because it's suggesting that there is a group of people that are more privileged to God's word than others. And it's not about privileged, it's about the ability to hear. Listen to Matthew 18, starting with Matthew 13:18, which is the parable of the sower explained. And we all know the parable of the sower, which is the sowing of seeds. That some seeds are cast on rocks, and have only a few will take root. Some seeds are cast on open ground. Again, they're challenged. The birds feed on them, but a few will take ground. Some seeds are planted in fertile earth, and they grow prosperous. That's your Reader's Digest condensed version of the sower of seeds. Actually, it's your Bard's. It's your Bard's Digest condensed version of sower of seeds. Okay, so listen to the parable of the sower explained. "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. That is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, that is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and then tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, and immediately he falls away. As for what was sown along among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of the riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. And for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case a hundredfold, in another 60, in another 30. I believe from what we read here, it's fairly evident how Christ would be talking today, which is essentially no different than he talked then. If people were walking off the cliff taking this injection, this is the sort of conversation he would be having. He would be speaking in parables, most likely. Now, obviously, we don't know for sure. But looking at Scripture, it indicates that the exact thing, that he's very aware that there are people that will endure for a while with faith, but because they have no root, they will fall away. Essentially, as the pressures of the world increase, they'll give in and walk away. There are those that will hear the word, but their cares for the word are going to be taken away by their greater care for the material wealth in which they're offered and given. You can see this playing out right before us. You can see those that are making decisions ultimately because they have no root. They can't stand on their own with God and instead are following that mass to go get the injection. You see people that are obviously being tempted. Apparently people are being tempted with a donut. That's enough to pull them over from Krispy Kreme, or $100 as a bonus. Imagine waking up and realizing that you put yourself in slavery for a glazed donut, or that you put yourself in slavery for the cost of a dollar. Yet people are doing it. And it's at the core of the entire principle of the sower, the seeds. They have no root, or they have no ability to sustain. But those that have the root, that are on fertile ground, no matter what endures, no matter what comes, they're able to weather that storm. They're able to not only weather the storm, but their roots go deeper, and the prosperous yields of fruit grow more intense. And what's important about that is that every fruit, as you know, goes eventually to seed. That's who we are as we walk this path. We're each of us bearing fruit that as we bear the fruit, it's for people to take from and to learn from, hopefully here. And at the same time, the longer that we push into this, the fruit that we bear itself becomes seeds. That should be a great motivation to everybody. And a reality check. We cannot save the world. It is not our job. We cannot cling on to the ideas that people are making what we would consider bad decisions. You have to step away from that judgment. They are making decisions for themselves that they are accountable for to God. We are making decisions walking with God that puts us all on the same path, but our relationship with God, each of us, is unique. That's part of being within the body of Christ. The relationship of my toe to me is different than the relationship of my nose to me. Thank goodness for that. I could not imagine my toe smelling the things that my nose doesn't have to smell. When it isn't that we don't feel the frustration and a pain, but if you let that pain continue to carry you, you're anchoring yourself with them. You're not freeing yourself to God. Ask yourself this question. If you're mourning those that are not following your path, and you're heavy in heart over those that are not following your path, are you following God's path? Are you following the path Christ would follow? This is a very important question, because if we're going to be anchoring in what we feel for others for not following the path that we're on, it's actually a very selfish perspective. Christ does not say that all will be saved. Christ does not say that all will follow. He offers the opportunity for others to follow, but they have to make the choice. This is the way the world works. We aren't here to save everybody. And if you're spending your whole time mourning what others' paths are taking, ask yourself, is that what God's asked you to do? God is connected to every single person. Do you not think that God knows they're making a choice of walking away from the path? At the same time, remember this, God gave us all free will. That's a very critical piece of all of this. And this concept of we need to save everybody, I mourn for them because they're not following the path I'm on. You're using your free will to follow God. That is as intended. They are using their free will to follow a path that they seek. In the end, you have to let that go. when you sow seeds in a garden, even on fertile soil, you know that not all seeds will germinate. I just sorted out some plants yesterday. They were bush beans, in fact. And all my bush beans in my first starter set sprouted except one. So I pulled out the one bean, I dug it up, and it was swollen, meaning ready to sprout, but it hadn't sprouted yet. Now, maybe it will. And maybe it won't. I'm not going to mourn it. I'm going to plant another seed, which is what I did. We have to continue to plant seeds. But if we're planting those seeds and we are hanging on to every seed, you're going to live a very miserable life. When I plant in my starter, in my little starter sets, and I start everything from seed. So when I start the seeds, I usually put 2 to 3 seeds in every little starter. I know that they can't sustain with 2 or 3 plants in one space. But I let them take root and I grow them to a certain point, and then I pull them apart and I replant them into a bigger individual container so they can have a second growing section to get deeper and more broad roots. And when they get to that point and they're sturdy, then I plant them in the ground. We want to feel the heavy and mourn and feel we can save the world. But even Christ has said it won't happen. And it's something we have to pivot back to. It is not that we don't care for humanity. But it's a very dangerous walk when we start to anchor ourselves to where they were and the choices that they're making. That is not mine to judge. And that's the other part of this. If I'm mourning their decision of doing so, I'm actually judging their decision based on my position in life. I can offer them a way. I can show them a way. They can choose to follow or not. I can tell you already, and I've mentioned this, one of my good friends was very clear. He wanted nothing to do with the knowledge of the injection. He'd already made it his point to have it. He felt it was worth the risk. Yeah, it bothered me a bit. But that's free will. That's his choice to make. Respect the decision. I wish him the best. I'll pray for him. I hope that he doesn't have the outcomes that are seemingly increasingly likely. And what's going to make this even more complicated is that the truth of this will not ever be, at least in a short term, will not be revealed. If, as many of the frontline, all the frontline doctors are now saying, that there's going to be a pretty heavy loss come fall, then we're into a case where this isn't going to be said it's the injection. They're going to say it's a new strain, and then we have to all get another injection. This is the game they're going to play. All of this centers on a critical fact that all of this is trying to obscure. And it goes back to anybody who accepts it. They're accepting an injection that is experimental. And they're placing their hopes and their dreams and their freedoms that were God-given to reclaim their freedoms are being based on an injection that is experimental. Everybody has that same knowledge. But as with the parable of the sower, evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. They must have the ability to hear, and not all have the ability to hear. Back to the purpose of the parables, starting with Matthew 13:13. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear but never understand, and you will indeed see but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, and do not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. Profound words, especially considering that as we sit here in this group, and there are many others like us, we're actually hearing and seeing. Those words are profound. God's given us those ability to hear and to see. It's a place that we're in. Not everyone is equipped or ready to do that. God is very aware of their decision, and God will deal with that in his own way. I've said this before, that one of the interesting things about the injection is when you look at how all this is playing out, and I'll say it like this, wouldn't it be ironic, is as the truth of what is really going on does continue to percolate across society. It's not going to be like one great moment where the curtain's pulled back. It's happening now. The truth is moving. And as people come to realize what they've actually done to themselves, what is one of the first things they do? They return to God. It's their free will that they choose, their free will that they chose to walk away, their free will that they're turning back to God. Our role is steadfast and steady. You must hold the line. And the pressures on each one of us is going to increase exponentially to pull us away from that line. But it's where you have to decide is if your roots are shallow or if your roots are deep. And in the place of roots are deep, no matter how big the storm, no matter how hard the gusts of wind, no matter how much you're pulled, you'll never be uprooted. You'll always stand with God, no matter what. The entire pivot of the world, the entire game that we're in, the entire war that we're fighting is centered on these words, free will. You cannot control somebody's soul unless they give it. And free will does not say that you get a pass because you ignored to read the fine print that was given to you about the injection. It doesn't say that. Society has had its training wheels removed. Across the world, in order for a system to die, all the protections that were in place were removed, and now the decisions are being made for real. Like all things, if you remember back to riding a bike, there comes a moment when the training wheels come off. Different families handle that a different way. Sometimes you just wake up as a kid and the training wheels are off. And it's time to grow up. And it's time to get on that bike. And it's time to ride. And you know you're going to stumble, but you have to ride. This is where we are. We're walking now as what we are intended to be. We're walking as human beings, the children of God, in this world, and there are consequences. The wolves are everywhere, and many are in sheep's clothing. But you have to wake up, and not everybody is prepared to hear the words that are given. Our job is to continue to treat our neighbors as we would expect to be treated, to love thy neighbor as I would want to be loved, to help those in need, and to raise up those, to give voice to those that have no voice. to protect the innocent. But to help those in need may be greater than we ever have any idea, and it may not be that far off. Right now, there are many in need. Are they willing to accept or hear is hard to say, but that doesn't change the mission. You cannot cling on to that decision that they make. It is theirs, but our mission doesn't change. And it's a difficult part of everybody, for everybody, to walk that line. But in the end, they are accountable to what they do, and we are accountable for what we do. Each of us is accountable. And when you embrace those words, hopefully that will help separate a bit from the emotional hooks that so many are feeling as they struggle with what they're witnessing. It is not ours to judge. This is God's world in the end. Each one of his children, he wants to come home. But each one has to choose. And that's theirs to do, because that's the gift God gave us all in the beginning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the blessings that you give each of us. We thank you for the eyes to see and the ears to hear. Lord, we pray today for the many that are walking away from you, but equally for the strength in all of us to continue to walk this line, to walk this path with you. And while we feel for those, we also have to step away from the emotional anchors that are cast around us to try to pull us into the world of the decisions that your children are making. We know, Lord, that our own decisions are not perfect, and many times they're imperfect. And so we pray for the wisdom as we walk here to look ourselves deeply in the mirror, to reflect deeply on who we are, to be honest and true to ourselves as we are true to you, and to continue to walk the path of the laws you presented before us, to treat our neighbors as we would wish to be treated, to love as we would wish to be loved, to help those in need and to give voice to those who have no voice in protecting the innocent, and to live above all without fear. Let us walk that path as an example, not as one that mourns the decisions of others. And let us walk that path as Christ our King intended, to hear your words and to sow more seeds. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. This is the world that we live in, and it's a world that we have to live in without being anchored or tied down to it. Emotions are what controls people. Faith is what frees us. And the more that emotions are exploited and twisted and turned, the more that those anchors hold us down. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never give in. Always press into the fight. Never relent. You can never bow to evil. Keep your prayers up. Prayers are important. That's what builds the bridges of healing, as does our spreading of truth. But in the end, we can't save the world. God knows that. So keep on this path, because God is with you. He'll never forsake any of us. We just have to have true faith in him. Just as a final note, when we start to mourn and to feel the burden of those making different choices, I'll leave you with this thought. Where is your faith in God? God knows what he's doing here. All he's asking us to do is to continue to live by his laws. We must trust in Him. Keep your eyes forward. Don't look back. In the end, God always wins. So have a blessed Monday. I'll be back in 30 minutes for Federalist Paper. I believe it's 45 today. It could be 46. I think it's 45. So until then, or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
And embers fly wherever we were going. Fire and ice, we built our lives on survival. Guiding past the fault lines, we're riding your hand in mine. Freedom, the song we're humming. You can't stop the storm from. What the night knows.